Lord, for your blessings on me. I praise God for the song. I appreciate God giving us so many blessings. Amen. Anyone else have a testimony right quick? Go ahead, Brother Johnson. Book of Titus, chapter number 2. That's one. Give you a thought tonight. Sunday, we brought a message about thanks. Use the word thanks itself. And like I said earlier, you could name your blessings one by one, but you never get through naming them, how good God really is and what all God's done for us. I praise him and thank him for it. And as been said tonight, thank God for salvation. You look back over your life, Brother Kenny was sharing. I said something about his life. It's amazing as I look back over my own life, what God has done throughout the years and places that he led, what he did, how he did it. I praise him and thank him for it. It's amazing grace of God is all I know to say. God's grace, unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense, if you take the word grace and break it down, but I am glad for that grace. Grace gives us what we do not deserve. Mercy keeps us from getting what we do deserve. Mercy keeps me out of hell. Grace takes me to heaven. I deserve to be lost without God and in hell, but Jesus, through his grace and mercy, loved me, and he keeps me out of hell, takes me to heaven. And I'm glad I'm saved and on my way. Anyone here tonight that's not saved, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that you will be saved before you leave the building, because that's the greatest event that ever happened to anybody's life, is when they get saved and born in the family of God. Titus chapter number 2. Start reading at verse number 11. Stand, please, while we read the Word of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I am glad for that word all, because it means the salvation is good for everybody. The grace of God hath appeared to all people, whether it be in Kenya, America, Russia, or China, or wherever. I'm glad for the grace of God that reaches all men. And then it says in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's all I'm going to read tonight. And we have some other scriptures here we'll get into later if God will let us. But I want to share a thought or two with you this evening. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And surely, Lord, it's been a blessed time already in the house of God, thanking you and praising you and hearing folk testify of your goodness unto them, and all of them saying thank you for saving them. And I want to join with them and say thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the blood that was shed, the life that was given. Thank you for the resurrection and the ascension. And thank you for the blessed hope, that truth that Jesus Christ will come again, the coming of the Lord Jesus, which is real. And I thank you, Lord, that any day now that may happen, and help us occupy till you come and stay busy about your business till you get here, and we'll thank you. Then I thank you tonight for all of our people here in the church. Lord, what a blessing each one have been to me, an encouragement to my heart, my life, then for those who've come to visit tonight. I thank you for them, and what a blessing they have been and are to my life. And Lord, we ask you to bless them tonight and help them, and help all of us together as we look at the Word of God for a few moments. I pray you'd challenge our hearts and help us to be even more thankful. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. We plead Jesus, ask you for that touch of God now to preach for a few moments. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I just want to look at this. We talked about verse number 11, about the grace of God that bringeth salvation. On last Wednesday night, we talked about salvation, being saved, being born again. And again, I cannot say it enough. It's because of the grace of God God's wonderful, marvelous grace has brought it to us. When we sing that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I say hallelujah for amazing grace. Aren't you glad the grace of God worked in your life? That's what brought you under conviction. That's how come God came to you, because of his grace. If he'd give you justice, you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else if you'd got justice. And I've mentioned it many times about the woman had her picture taken. And she told the photographer, said, that picture does not do me justice. He looked at her and said, woman, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen. And I tell you right now, we need some mercy. Amen. We need grace. And I praise God for the grace of God. We need that grace. We need help. Amen. To help us along the way. God sent the grace so that we could be saved by that amazing grace of God. I guess that song, Amazing Grace, one of the greatest songs ever written. Amazing Grace. And it ends up right. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God and praise than when we first began. Now, I know some folk, what they mean when they say, let's sing forevermore. But you can't really be there forevermore, because evermore never ends. So, but when you've been there 10,000 years, there won't be any time in heaven either. And so we just can't even count how it's going to be. But when we've been there, ever how long, it's still, we can't tell it. It'd still be amazing grace that took us to heaven. Amen. Now tonight, I want you to look in verse number 12 and the first two words, teaching us. Teaching us. I told you last week I was going to begin a message on seven things that grace does. And first thing I mentioned was salvation. Grace does bring us salvation. Thank God for that. That's what he said in verse number 11. Then verse number 12, he says, teaching us. So it schools us. And we're going to use that word school. And he's teaching us. And I want to say just two or three things about schooling us tonight. And I thank God they didn't just save me and leave me there, but he schools me. And he is schooling me. Now, if you're going to be schooled, and you think about school, you think about it, you've got to have a curriculum of some kind. You got to have a textbook. And I'm glad we've got one. Amen. Hallelujah. Right here. Aren't you glad that God gave us his word? God didn't just send Jesus to die for us, but left his word to teach us and to give us that. And that's the grace of God. And I mentioned the other day, and let me say it again. We ought to be thankful to God that we have a Bible. And Sister Nadine testified about the Bible and what it meant to her. And how sometimes when she talked about reading the Bible, I think all of us sometimes has a struggle with our physical part, but there's a hunger on the inside for the Word of God. And we long for that blessed Word. It's our food. It's our strength. And thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist cried out. We need to hide the Word in our heart, and you can't hide it in your heart if you don't study it. So I'll get to that in a minute, but I'm telling you, we have the textbook right here before us. We have the Word of God, the precious. Now, there's been some good books written. There's good commentaries written. There's good books written about different subjects and concerning the Word of God and the things of God. But there's no book that would ever take the place of the Word of God itself. And the best commentary that you'll ever read is a Bible commenting upon itself. The Bible, look up all the scriptures that contain that one subject, and that's a good commentary. It'll help you in. And I say praise God for the Word of God. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this book is not just a book. It is a living book. It is given to us by God himself. Holy Spirit moved upon men. And they wrote down the word that God gave them. And this book is alive. And it's the only book you'll ever read. Every time that you pick it up and you look at it, there'll be something new in it. And it's not that it changes, it doesn't change. It's the same, but you'll see something you hadn't seen before. If you really open your mind and your heart and you really study it, God will show you something in the Word of God. I've been studying the Word of God for years now, and I get amazed at things I see from day to day, time to time in the Word of God. I've been there a long time. It's been there ever since God wrote the book, and ever since I've been reading, it's been there, but it just hit me that God gave me something out of the Word of God. I'm glad for those nuggets you get every once in a while When you're studying and you're getting the word of God and God gives you something, just that you need help. And I remember that time when Anthony was real sick. And I was at the hospital, and we hadn't told Juanita. All the doctor had told me what he thought, but it didn't turn out to be what the doctor had suspicion, but about enough the way it was. But I didn't understand what was going on. I just announced my call to preach. I was trying to go to college. I was trying to work a job, had a family. I was sitting in a hospital room and with Anthony that night, and he was just a little fella. And I wanted to try to get him to sleep, and I opened up the Word of God and began reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I do not know when Anthony went to sleep, but I know one thing. God showed up that night in my heart, my life, in that room, and let me know that everything would be okay. And I just need to rest in Him. He's my shepherd. And He said in that verse, in that chapter, Psalm 23, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for all of that. Amen. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm glad He's with us no matter what valley you're in. He's with you. How, where do you get that from? The Word of God. Precious is the Word of God. He's a lily of the valley. And when you're reading the Word of God, you see some lilies blooming. You see some things that help you. And so I just wanted to say something about the Word of God tonight. And I get hung up on some thoughts sometimes, but I'm glad for the Word of God. The Word of God, now listen to me closely. The Word of God tells you where you came from. By the way, He does not in the Word of God try to explain anything about where God came from, because God didn't come from anywhere, because God just is. You say, preacher, I can't grasp that. I can't either. That's why He's God and we're the creature and He's the creator. In the beginning, God, that's how the word starts out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's where we need to start, is with God. It started with Him, and He created everything that there is. He made man from the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that's how we began. The Bible tells us where we came from. We didn't come from a monkey. We didn't evolve into where we are. We were created the way that we are by God Himself. And so we came from God. Then the Bible tells us why we're here. Well, aren't you glad you know why you exist? It'd be bad to live your life and never know why you live. I've had people ask me, preacher, why do I live? What's it about? What is life about? And I'm always glad to tell them, how do I know what life is about? Because the Word of God told me what it's about. God created us, and He created us for His glory. He created us to worship Him. He created us to have fellowship with Him. And if we miss that, we miss our reason for existence. We live to glorify Him. And tonight, I pray that you understand that. I pray that we really get a hold of that, that you live to glorify Him. Brother Walker, as you were invited into that Bible study, it's to glorify Him. As you said, not us, but Him. We are living our lives. I'm glad that we live our lives to glorify Him and to bring Him glory and honor. And so we need to understand why we live. And then it tells us where we're going. And how many people have asked me, what's beyond? And where's it going to end? And what is the out there? And some people think we're going to float around in the cosmos somewhere, or that we're just going to be some kind of a comeback, reincarnated as something else, all that kind of stuff. But I'm glad the Bible tells me what's going to happen in the future. Saved people are going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. And one day, not only are we going to be in heaven, but one day Jesus is coming back and He's going to raise the dead in Christ, those who have gone on and be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Those who are with Him, He's bringing back with Him, soul and spirit. The body is going to be resurrected, be reunited, and be a glorified body and soul and spirit together, and we'll live forever and forever with Him. What are we going to be doing, preacher? Living with Him, glorifying Him, worshiping Him, giving Him glory. Amen. Praise God. If you don't enjoy being in church now, I check up and see if I'm saved. Amen. Because getting to church is a good taste of getting a taste of heaven. Amen. When God gets around, and as Brother Mase Jackson used to say about spiritually, it gets too thick to see without a seeing eye dog. when it gets so glory of God around, that's the next best place to heaven you can get anyway. Hallelujah. I like it, amen, in the house of God. I like it when God's around. I like it just come together like we have tonight. It may not be a full house. We've got a lot of folk gone, a lot of people here and there, but thank God we're here. Amen. I'm glad that we know why we're here. We're here to worship God, hear from heaven. People give testimony, and it's giving glory to God. But let me say, if you're going to have school, he said, teaches us, we need a teacher. And so I'm glad for the teacher. Who is the teacher? Well, I want you to know tonight the Holy Ghost is the teacher. Amen. He is the one that inspired men to write the book. When you know the author of the book, it certainly makes a difference about reading the book. When you've read and you've met whoever's wrote the book and then you're reading after, it helps you to understand it better. Eh? Aren't you glad? Some people say, I can't understand the Bible. Maybe you need to get to know the author. And sometimes we need to get to know the author better, then we better understand the Word of God. Amen? And as we get to understand Him and learn more and more about Him. Jesus said in John 16:7, nevertheless, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. I am glad, thank God, He is our Comforter. And then verse 14, He said, and He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive that of Mine, and He'll show it unto you. I'm glad tonight the Holy Spirit takes that of Jesus and shows us and makes it real to us, and Jesus becomes more precious day by day. Aren't you glad one day the Holy Spirit came to you and showed you Jesus crucified for you and showed you that He died for you and that He rose from the dead for you and that He went to heaven to intercede for you and that you could come and get saved and born in the family of God? And if you're not saved tonight, I want to report to you God can save you and will save you because Jesus came for you. And the Holy Spirit makes that real. He is the teacher. I'm glad for Him that is the teacher. How good that is. But if you're going to have school, not only have a curriculum, you got to have a textbook, and then a teacher, but you need some students. Amen. If you're going to have school, you've got to have some students. And we ought to be students of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself the proof unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I want to say tonight, I'm thankful that God has given us the Word of God, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us as we read the Word of God, and God has given people in our lives, as Brother Brotherton said, and Brother Johnson so wonderfully in the poem put down, others to help us along the way. I'm glad for those who teach and those who work and labor in the Word of God. I can remember back, I'm thinking back now as a boy, first time I ever heard anything about the rapture of the church. I remember the preacher that was preaching. I remember the preacher that said something about it. Brother Bill Toole, and he began to preach about the rapture of the church, and it got real in my heart. There's going to be a rapture. Jesus is coming back. I wasn't familiar with that, and I was just a kid, but I heard it, and I thank God for men like that came by, and they preached. I thank God for men that preached being born again, men that preached and taught me about the Word of God. It is inspired, infallible, divine. Preserved Word of God. I'm glad for that. I'm glad we have it. I say praise the Lord on Thanksgiving Eve that we have the Word of God. Amen. He teaches us. The grace of God teaches us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I feel like I know so little that I need to study so much more, but I am thankful for what God has let me learn up to this point. Isn't it good that God lets you learn more and more about Him day by day? Thank Him and praise Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus.